I'm on. All right. Taking care of the technical difficulties. So I'd like to say good morning. My name is Travis, and I am a recovering sinner. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning. We just ask for your presence as we cry out to you that our heart would sing no other name but Jesus. And Lord, we are conscious and aware that there is a reality that is unseen, that the kingdom of heaven stands open and that Jesus is the door. And Father, we pray today, just like Isaiah's servant in the Old Testament, that you would open our eyes to see these things, Lord. Make known to us the unseen, that we would live in a way that speaks of the kingdom that's coming. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, if you're a visitor, I'd like to welcome you. We are True North Church. There is a distinction that we try to make that as a people who believe in Jesus Christ, you cannot go to church. You are the church. The Bible tells us that, do you not know that your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit? And therefore, we should sanctify ourselves as a place where God dwells. Because, you know, man is created in the image of God, and so often we take that image and we degrade it by sin. And I say that I'm a recovering sinner because the Bible tells us that whoever sins is a slave to sin. That's addiction. Whoever sins is a slave to sin, and that whoever says that they don't have sin is a liar. So this is what the Bible tells us, is that we have a condition that we are born into in this world, that we are slaves to sin, and if we say that we don't have sin, we're a liar. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can be set free, because Jesus says, if you hold to my teachings, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And this is an amazing thing. So, you know, we think about life, and we saw that little flip book. You know, here's the guy, he starts out as a kid, he's running through life, he catches some money, and all of a sudden, he comes to the sign that says, the end. And it's so easy, for us in this life to get our focus off of what is the main thing, for us to live without purpose and meaning. And so as a church, True North Church, if you've been with us or following us for a while, you will know that we have a purpose. We have a modus operandi. We have a reason for being. The sole reason we exist is for all to know Christ, experience his power, and be his image in the world. That is our mission statement. And so as we come together as a church, we know that a house, that unless God builds the house, we labor in vain. So it is the Lord who builds his church, because the ecclesia, the called out ones, are people that have been born again. They have been given the deposit of the Holy Spirit. You have tasted the heavenly gift. Your eyes have been opened through the blood of Jesus Christ to a reality that you can partake in God's divine nature. And God says that you should assemble together with other believers, because God is building his church. He gives each person a different type of gift within this calling. And so some people are able to stand up here and speak and talk about God. Other people are able to serve. Other people are able to teach. God builds his church, and he brings us together, and he has strategically placed people in the most opportune places to reach as many people as he can. God has an army in and through us, if we would open our eyes in the places that we are to be used by God to be his church. But so oftentimes we forget that our purpose in living is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So instead of being what God's created us to be, we live for a diminished vision of life, because our eyes aren't fixed on Jesus Christ. And we miss out. And it's easy for us to go through life and not know what our purpose is. Who knows what this is? It's a light bulb. What is the purpose of a light bulb? The purpose of a light bulb is to shine, to dispense of the darkness. And so we can look at a light bulb and we can know what the purpose of the light bulb is. But you know, if we think of ourselves as this light bulb, and when we go through life and we cry out that our heart was saying no other name but Jesus, and you think about the woman at the well who Jesus, he comes there and she meets Jesus and he says, give me water. And she looks at him. She says, how are you talking to me? You're a Jew. And we'll get into some of that next week. But Jesus says that the time is coming and has come when the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. And so there's this reality that no matter what we do, if you're a nurse or a mom or a mechanic or a construction worker, no matter what you do, first and foremost, you are a worshiper. So you can be a worshiper who builds houses. You can be a worshiper that helps doctors because you're a nurse. You can be a worshiper that does all these things. But if we're going to worship in spirit and truth, if we're going to, for all to know, experience His power and be His image in the world, if we're going to shine in the world, it will be because we are worshiping Jesus, that our hearts sing, no other name but Jesus. What I have found in my own life, and just part of my personal testimony, is that it's easy to know intellectually who Jesus is because Jesus has impacted my life. When I was 24 years old, I was an addict and I fell out of my bed to my face on the floor and I said, God, if you're real, I have to know you. And God lit up my light bulb that night and I will never forget that. And you know what our instinctual thing to do is? It's to run out from that experiencing of God and try to do things for God in and of our own power. And we're not shining when we do that because we're disconnected. That's not worshiping in spirit and truth. That's called legalism, pharisaicalism. It's somebody who's trying to keep the law and striving to see others keep the law because we should do that, because that's what is right to do. But that's not what God wanted. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branch. If you don't abide in me, you die and you wither. And so often, you know, this is what the church can be. We could be a room full of light bulbs that are producing zero light because we're not worshipers in spirit and truth. So our mission as a church is for all to know Jesus Christ, and we feel like it's important that everybody know Jesus Christ because I personally believe, and I know that Pastor Paul believes, I know that Josh believes, that Jesus Christ is God incarnate. He is the Word made flesh, and that He came that we might have life. And that we would have it abundantly, that Jesus, if we can abide in Jesus Christ, we get to experience the fullness of life. Not only life right here, but life eternal, that it never ends. And so being we believe this, we want everybody to know who Jesus Christ is because Jesus is amazing. And if you find your life in Jesus Christ, you find life. Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like a man who finds a treasure in a field and he goes and he sells everything that he owns that he can have that field. And so this is describing what the person is like who finds eternal life, who finds Jesus Christ. We want everybody to know Jesus Christ because once you find Jesus, you're good. We don't even have to teach you anymore because the Bible says you have a teacher who is in you. He's given you the Holy Spirit that will guide and lead you into all truth. And this is what we want. We can try to make a church. We can try to put people in the right places. But you have to be plugged into the source to shine. And so we can send you to an online forum where you can find out your spiritual gifting, but it would be so much better if you get on your knees before the Lord God Almighty and say, God, what are you calling me to be? Are you, you know, we don't have formal membership as a church because we want people to come to Christ and we want God to tell you to be here. Because if you try to be somewhere you're not supposed to be, what most often happens is you end up being critical of the thing that you're involved in. Because you're not coming Because God has made you a part of it. You're coming as a consumer, and you want church to be a certain way, and you want it to meet certain needs. And well, when the children's ministry isn't just right, or this isn't just right, we become critics. Because we're trying to do something, and when we try to do things in the flesh, we expect other people to meet our expectations in that very same way. And then the difference is when we're plugged in to Jesus Christ, when we are on our knees and we're saying, God, where do you want me to be? What do you want me to do? We show up with a different attitude. Because the Spirit of God is moving in us in such a way that we're there to meet needs. We're there to use our gift. And that gifting is different. Listen, God is building his church, and that requires a lot of different things. And oftentimes when our view of church is a building that we collect into on Sunday morning, we miss our purpose because God has us strategically located like fingers, like roots out into the world. We are in businesses, we are in workplaces, we are in schools, we are in villages, we are out. God has us, his church, strategically located that when we shine, we will illuminate through relationship to people, to person, to person, to person. The growth of the church depends on our spiritual growth individually. God will add to his church as he sees fit. But if we take our eyes off of our purpose, if we lose sight of our purpose, then what happens? What do we do with a light bulb that doesn't light up? If you got any bulbs, like, hey, the light doesn't work in this room, what do? We throw it away. Do you know what the Bible says in Matthew 13? Jesus is giving the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, salt that has lost its saltiness. Do any of you know anybody who's salty? We have different connotations for that word when we think of somebody being salty. I served in the Marine Corps, and in the Marines, if you said somebody was salty, that means when he takes his uniform off, it stands up on its own. This dude has some experience, right? He's done this job for a while. He's salty. You know, the Marines are mariners. They serve on ship. They're salt water. To be salty means that you're broken in and you're experienced. But and Jesus says, if salt loses its saltiness, it's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of men. And in Jesus' day, salt was used to preserve meat. They lived in a day without refrigeration, and so the only way that they could preserve things was with salt. They would salt their meats. They would dry their fish. Jesus says, if salt has lost its saltiness, it is good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of man. You are the light of the world. Where did I throw my light bulb? You are the light of the world. You know, when you get rid of something, you don't think about needing it again. Hopefully it didn't break. You are the light of the world. So what happens if the church isn't shining? You know, there is, in a way, our spiritual reality is being expressed all around us. What does that mean, right? Our spiritual reality is being manifested. I can ask you if you want revival, but that question is already being answered through the decisions and the desires of your heart, and we are seeing the manifestation of our desires all around us, as a nation, as a people. This is where we've come to. This is our spiritual reality. The nation that forgets God is turned into hell. I have an alarm set when I need to stop, but that's not mine. So our spiritual reality is being manifested all around us in our lives. The nation that forgets God is turned into hell. Righteousness exalts a nation. So where we are spiritually is being manifested in our lives daily. Our mission as a church is for all to know Jesus Christ and to experience his power. The Bible tells us that as a believer, we should do all that we do with our whole heart as though we are doing it for God and not as unto men. Does anybody have that verse memorized? Everything that we should do, everything that we do, we should do it with our whole heart as though we are doing it for God and not as unto men. Why do you think that is? There's a very good reason. Because if we are doing what we do, I want a raise, so when the boss is around, I'm going to work really hard and pretend to be really smart, right? I'm going to try harder. But if I believe that my promotion comes from God, that I'm going to be serving God with my whole heart Monday through Friday. This is probably an adequate description of my spiritual life. It's blinking, right? My marital homogeny goes really well when it's been really bad, because when it goes really bad, I get on my knees. God, I need you. I need you to bless my wife. I need you to watch over her, keep her. Lord, help me to be the husband that you've called me to be. Help me to love her the way that Jesus loves the church. Because that, you know, if I'm going to worship in spirit and truth, the truth says, husbands, love your wives the way Jesus loved the church, laying down his life for her. Am I right? We want revival, but we don't want to do what God says to do, because that's hard. Because that requires us to get real with God, to get on our knees before God and say, God, I don't love my wife the way you love the church, laying down your life for her. If we get real with God, you know, Monday through Friday when we go to work, you know, there was some, if you're not a part of the Sunday school class before this church service, you are missing out on some raw, real testimonies of God working in people's lives. And sometimes we have jobs where it would be easy for us to go to work and slack off, find a dark room and take a nap. But if you're doing everything that you do with your whole heart as though it's for God, then it doesn't matter what people see. You're working for God, who, I believe, Sarah's handmaids called him Elroy. This is the God who sees me. He sees me when nobody else sees. He sees my desperate need. He hears my desperate cry. He also sees me when nobody else sees me, when I'm at work and I could just slack off, or I can do everything that I do with my whole heart as though I am doing it for the Lord and not unto men. You know, when we can, Jesus says, if you hold on to my teachings, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And it's easy to go to work Monday through Friday and work for a paycheck, you know, to be that guy that's just grabbing the money that's coming at him. And the problem with that is that we lose sight of our purpose. And next thing you know, we're depressed because we're living for nothing. We're living for, you know, Solomon said, vanity of vanity, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. It's a chasing after the wind. And so if we want our life to have purpose and meaning, we find that through coming into line with the Word of God, worshiping in spirit and in truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the Word made flesh. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. What does it mean to eat the flesh of Jesus Christ? It means that man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. But often we don't even know the Word of God, not alone hold on to it long enough for it to transform our lives and illuminate who we are. In Sunday school, we talked about that, just one thing or habit that we do that has changed our life. And this is how we experience power in Christ. I have this thing I like to call EPIC, E-P-I-C, experiencing power in Christ. And this is when we have a testimony, because we hold on to the you know, these verses that I've gotten written down on these index cards, verses like Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because whoever comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Do you have a testimony of diligently seeking God with your whole heart, of coming out of the darkness and the overwhelming love of Jesus Christ that transforms your life? That is epic. God spoke to Moses through a bush, and he goes to Egypt and he says to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." This is epic, because this is the unseen being manifested in the seen. That which is seen is temporary, but that which is unseen is eternal. That which is seen is temporary, but the unseen is eternal. And it's easy for us to live a life focusing on what we see, trying to get our 401k to a place where we can retire with relative ease. James, the brother of Jesus Christ, in James 4, he said that, don't say, tomorrow we'll go to this city or that city and we'll trade and we'll make a profit. Come now, you who say, tomorrow or today we'll go to this and that city, spend a year there and carry on business and make a profit. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. In November 11th of 2001, almost 3,000 people went to work and they never went home. Purpose. If today was our last breath on earth, what would our purpose have been said to be? You know, will True North Church in Grand Island, Nebraska, have such an impact on Grand Island that people look to Jesus Christ as the one and only way to the Father? What's the most important thing that people will say about us? We asked that question in Sunday school this morning. What will people say about us? Will they say that we love Jesus Christ with all our heart? Our spiritual reality is being manifested. We sing the song, "My heart will sing no other name, Jesus, Jesus." But oftentimes the focus of our heart is paying the bills. How many kids do I have with braces? Just what? But Dylan's got, I mean, dental work is expensive, man. Good grief. Why, you know, I always think of that Rudolph movie, the claymation one that people my age are familiar with that came out, you know, it'd be on every Christmas. And the little elf, he goes, "I want to be a dentist." Man, dental work is expensive. But their life comes at us at a ferocious rate, to the point that we can be conformed by the things that we see. And when we're conformed by the things that we see, we assign a value to that. So therefore, our value as a person in life comes down to the things that we possess. But Jesus says a man's life isn't found in his possession. Jesus tells a story about a farmer who had a really good harvest. And it's easy when we take our eyes off of the eternal to think in these terms. The farmer said, "I'm going to tear down my barns, I'm going to build bigger barns because I've had such an amazing harvest. And I've got enough that I can lay it up for the rest of my life, and I can live a life of ease and luxury." And Jesus says, "Thou fool, your life will be demanded of you tonight, and who will have your possessions?" What are we living for? As a church, are we shining for Jesus Christ? Or is the purpose of our heart being revealed to be something other than God Almighty? My testimony is that it's easy to forget God. It's easy to forget God. Israel forgot God. God appeared to the Israelites that he led out of slavery, a pillar pillar of fire by night and a cloud during the day. He brings them to the edge of the Red Sea. And they're like, oh, you took it, you know, we'd rather be back in slavery making bricks because now we're going to die. You know, and this is our lives, right? We're always, there's always that which is seen, life. And the unseen is the promises of God. Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And so we are always backed up against the Dead Sea. The decision to walk by faith, to trust God, or to panic and worry and fear, to live in such a way that others would see that, you know, we believe that our human masters have the power over us to promote us or demote us, to give us a raise, to make us happy, or we can live in such a way that we believe that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And all authority, power, and dominion has been given to him. And we can lay our lives, we can lean into Jesus because he is the vine and we are the branch. Apart from him, we can do nothing, and our hearts can rest in the presence, in the spirit of Jesus Christ, because our hearts can be sprinkled with the blood of God. Our hearts can be broken. The Word of God, the Word made flesh, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this Word became the person of Jesus Christ, and we behold him as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, of mercy and truth. Our eyes can see God. Have you seen God? That which is eternal is unseen. And Jesus would say to us, I have been with you so long. Have you not seen me? You know, we can have the Word of God, we can know the Word of God, and we can be dark. Because there is a spiritual reality that has to take place within us. When the blood of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, the perfect Son of God, came into this seen reality that was created. Through faith, we understand that which is seen is created by the Word of God. So that which is seen is not made of that which does appear. What does that mean? Through faith, we understand that which is seen is created by the Word of God. So that which is seen is not made of the things that do appear. That which is seen is temporary, but that which is unseen is eternal. Through Jesus Christ, we can partake in God's divine nature. Because we are in a physical reality. We are created beings living in a created being. We are carnal, sold under sin. We are slaves to sin. Slaves to our desires, slaves to our selfishness, like animals following our instinct. And Jesus comes into this ferocious, selfish, self-centered world. This dog-eat-dog, this place where value and worth is found in what you have and what you possess and your power. And he says, no, it's not. He says, there is no greater power than love. God is love. Whoever abides in love abides in God. There is a spiritual reality that takes place when the blood of Jesus Christ is sprinkled on your heart and all things become new. When the Spirit of God comes into our lives, and we are born again. We exist as a church for all to know this love of God, this person of Jesus Christ who was nailed to Calvary's cross on a hill, and he was put to death under Pontius Pilate. He was born of a virgin. He was laid in a tomb, and on the third day, the power of God was revealed that there is nothing greater than love, not even death. Oh, death, where is your sting? Where is the sting of death when the power of God is revealed? God has created us for a purpose. He has created us to shine for him. He has called us together to be his church. Man doesn't build a church. God calls us to be a church. And when we worship Jesus Christ, we become the church that God has called us to be. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 says, Christ has given us apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors, to equip his people for good works to service so that the body of Christ, the church, the body of Christ, the body is made up of many members. There's the face, the heart, the hands, the lungs, the mouth, the voice, the eye. We're not all the eye, but we're a body bound together, built up, supporting each other in love as each of us do the work that God has called us to do. Do everything with your whole heart as though you were doing it for the Lord and not as unto men. And let your heart sing no other name but Jesus. There is a spiritual reality being manifested in True North Church. And each of us as worshipers take part in that responsibility. Whether or not we shine in the darkness, whether or not we are salt and light in a dying world, whether or not there is a spiritual manifestation of the living God as each of us live for one purpose, that all may know Jesus Christ, experience his power, and be his image in the world. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you as a church, a collection of worshipers, your bride, each of us individual, each of us members of your body, born again for one purpose, to glorify you. And Lord, when we glorify you, when we bring our sin into the light, we are illuminated and we become light. That's what your word says. That when we are illuminated, when we bring our darkness into the light and we let it be seen and illuminated by your word, we become illuminated. Father, we pray that we would shine for you in the darkness, but we know that it's easy to forget. It's easy to lose our way. It's easy to live for things that are perishing. That which is seen is temporary, but the unseen is eternal. Father, we pray that you would give us the eternal perspective today. In your word, it says that a single day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a single day. Lord, we have but a couple hours of life before we step into eternity. Lord, teach us what it means to worship. It's not three songs on a Sunday, but it's the entirety, it's the breadth, it's the width of our lives, it's the depth, it's the places that you have placed us to serve you as servants of the Most High God. That's my alarm. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The church, would you stand with me as we close this morning?